The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Sean Quinn to look ahead to the best of Tuesday's action. We're going to look at three races at Newcastle and also have a quick spin through the Monday jury from the Racing Post. Six questions there, and pretty much all of them are Cheltenham based, which is nice because it's not far away now. Is it, Mr. Quinn?
It's not. What is it? 8 days away? 7 days away?
Eight
as we record this, but
yeah, it's getting close, isn't it? Mm. Excited.
I am. I'm like a child around Christmas time.
That's lovely. Right, we'll jump straight into it then.
Okay.
First question: what did you make of Monbeg Dude's Grimthorpe run with the Grand National in mind?
Obviously, he was a little bit disappointing, wasn't he?
Mm.
But.
His jumping was the thing, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think he jumps well enough to win a Grand National, Alex. The Grand National is a sort of race where you want your horse to get into a rhythm, and you cannot miss a beat. I know it's over 4.5 miles, and it seems, you know, daft to say that you have to be on your game throughout, but you do. And also, the National is becoming more a race, I feel, that suits horses that can lie handier.
Mm.
Monbeg Dude has looked at his best when coming through horses, hasn't he? I know Andy Holding and the likes are big fans of this horse on the speed figures, from something he did earlier in the year when he won at Cheltenham, but for me, like you say, he doesn't jump well enough.
Looked a bit scratchy at Doncaster. He was never really flowing.
He's never been a natural, has he? Over the larger obstacles, anyway. But you know, he's going to give them a good day out and whatnot. But I question whether he'd jump well enough to win a national, Alex.
Okay. Next up, away from the big players, which trainers can shake things up at Cheltenham? I'm going to change this question just
right
for you, Sean.
All right.
I'm going to say, I think that your father is a trainer who perhaps could change.
All right, okay.
So what I'm going to say is, which horses are going to be running at Cheltenham, and what do you make of the chances?
I hope that Dad can shake things up at the festival. It's nice to have another winner. Already, we've had a couple already, and there is no better feeling.
Mm.
There is no better feeling than a winner at Cheltenham. On the first day, Cockney Sparrow will be running in the mare's race. Obviously, mm-hmm. She's got Quavega to beat. She's second favourite behind Quavega. But there is going to come a time when Quavega does get beat, Alex. She's 10 years of age now. And while she's been a remarkable race man, she's been excellently handled over the years. You know, I'm hoping that the young filly Cockney Sparrow, who is only a 5-year-old, let's not forget, might have a little bit more progress in her. She has to prove that she stays 2.5 miles. But if she stays, I'd like to think she could get in the mix. On the Wednesday, we're hoping that Falls Family Fun will make the cut for the Fred Winter.
Mm-hmm.
We've entered him for a couple of races this week, actually. And there's a possibility he might run with a view to trying to get a penalty to get him into the Fred Winter.
Okay.
He was a little bit disappointing at Musselburgh last time out, but if you look at his form both on the flat and now over hurdles, all of his best form is going left-handed. I don't think he's the same horse at all going right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Dad is very, very happy with him. And if he does make the cut for the Fred Winter, he's no back number.
Be a big price, as
he will.
Imagine.
He will. Mm. What else have we got? There are two horses in the Triumph hurdle. Well, the two that will head for the Triumph hurdle are Ruther Glen and Pearl Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Two very nice horses who've done nothing wrong in their three starts each over hurdles. Ruther Glen is in excellent form. He needs to improve a little bit to win a Triumph hurdle, but so do plenty in the race. And he looks to be improving, Alex. You know, he's won four from four since joining us. Three over jumps and one on the flat. He's in iron form, and we're looking forward to running him. And Pearl Classel is a classier type. He's probably looked better of the two over hurdles to date. But again, I think he was unsuited by the way the race was run at Doncaster last time. He's in good form. If the ground were to be particularly dry, his chance would be enhanced.
Which you highlighted when I met you over Christmas.
Weatherby, we met the first day he ran, didn't we? Mm. The ground was bottomless. And yeah, that was just no good for him. But he's looked a different tool on better ground on his last two runs, Alex. And he wants better ground further. You know, good ground will be perfect for him. And then in the Martin Pipe conditional hurdle, we are going to run Calculated Risk, who's been saved for the race since winning at Sedgefield over Christmas time. Dad and Terry Warner put their heads together and decided to keep him for the Martin Pipe race. And he will not be without a chance. He's in very, very good form. So look, we've got five horses there to head to Prestbury Park. And if one of them can get their heads in front, it would be excellent.
Who'll be riding Calculated Risk, would you imagine?
Jake Greenall has been booked.
Okay, lovely. Okay, next question sort of ties in with that one. What festival contest are you most looking forward to and why? I mean, it could be because of one of your own.
Mm.
It could be a big race, if you like, a group one. Which
I'm looking forward to the Triumph Hurdle because I love it as a race anyway, but we'll have a couple of runners in it. So that's the race I'm looking forward to. But in terms of the spectacle, I'd have to agree with plenty of the jury in the Racing Post have said. The Champion Hurdle, it's going to be an absolute belter, Alex. It's on the first day of the meeting, the best day's racing. The tension is phenomenal, and we have a vintage crop of Champion Hurdle hurdlers this year. Which one will take the crown? I wouldn't like to say for sure, but I'm really, really looking forward to that race.
Okay. Give us your festival banker.
Oof.
And one at a bigger price.
Oof. Festival banker. Bobsworth will win the Gold Cup.
Okay. Will win the Gold Cup.
One at a bigger price, I like Sizing Gold in the JLT Novices Chase. About a 14-1 shot with us at William Hill, Alex, so that might be juicy enough for you. I know Andrew Lynch has been a fan of this horse for many seasons now, and he's just starting to come into his own. He won first time up at Navan, and then last time out ran second behind Fox Rock, who will be go off favourite for the 4-miler, most likely. That was over 3 miles. His jumping was brilliant that day, but he just didn't stay the 3 miles. He was outstayed by Fox Rock. The drop back to the intermediate trip is going to suit Sizing Gold, and he is no back number.
Okay. We've got the next question is, which nation will be crowned winner of the first Prestbury Cup? Of course, this year, Great Britain and Ireland going head-to-head, if you like.
I'm not sure what I make to this Prestbury Cup. What do you think? Does it add anything to the festival?
I don't think it really does, to be honest. I think the festival's good enough without it.
Exactly.
I suppose it
allows. Who represents Ireland? Who represents Britain? Who goes to get to pick up the cup?
The Queen.
If Britain win, I'd like to go and get it.
Are you putting yourself forward?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any votes to Cheltenham.
Who's going to make this decision? It could be you.
I think Darren Owen should.
Well, Darren Owen said he'd like to represent North Wales.
Okay, just North
Wales. Just North Wales.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, it is a funny one, though, isn't it? It's not an initiative that I think you'll particularly take off.
No, I wouldn't have too strong an opinion either way, but...
Okay, well, if you were going to say who's going to have the most winners...
Yeah, Britain or Ireland.
Yeah.
To lift the Prestbury Cup, I'd probably say Britain, numerically, with far more horses running.
Okay, fine. Final question in this week's Monday jury. Who can top up our Cheltenham war chest in Saturday's Imperial Cup?
Well, everyone in the panel in the Racing Post has mentioned Regal Encore, who his mark of 130 looks... a blip, Alex, it has to be said. What I find amazing is that the handicapper hasn't gone back and reassessed him on the back of See You at Midnight's exploits at Hexham.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Tony McCoy's in the Monday jury, our very own AP McCoy. Not that we own him, but he mentions that, because I remember Regal Encore being beaten at Hexham.
He gave him a penalty.
I must say that I haven't sort of really looked back at the form. I just remember it being beaten by a 66-1 shot. But that 66-1 shot is, see, what it would have been like.
Now rated 155.
It's not. Not
and your man's
course.
Rated 130. I just cannot believe the handicappers have let him in off 130. We've had horses that haven't run. that the handicap has reassessed.
Yeah.
Poor old Rutherglen was given a mark of 128. We put him away. We weren't going to run him again over hurdles, and we were going to send him for the Fred Winter. Mm. We thought he'd be mightily competitive off 128. And all of a sudden, 5 weeks after his run over his last run over hurdles, the handicapper puts him up £7.
Why was that?
Because a horse that he'd beaten, Thorpe, went on and finished third in the trial race up at Musselburgh to Broughton. But I just can't see why he does it. Exactly. If you're going to go back and handicap horses, reassess them, do it consistently.
Yeah.
Either do it for them all or don't do it.
Yeah.
Regal Encore to me looks to have been led in very nicely.
No, I'd agree with that. Okay, so Regal Encore, one to keep an eye on in the Imperial Cup. Very nice, Mr. Quinn. We'll move on to three races at Newcastle on Tuesday afternoon. Okay. We'll kick off with the 220. Not the biggest fields at Newcastle, I'm afraid, on Tuesday, but that should, hopefully, make it easier to find a winner or two.
Well, in theory, that would be nice.
Novices hurdle up first, 220, 2 miles the trip. Six runners down to go to post for this one. Interesting to see AP McCoy booked here to ride Stonebrook for Donald McCain Jr., a horse that he's won on before, gets on well with. Won last time at Ayr, reasonably nicely. And you look at bits and pieces of this horse's form, and I mean, behind Tikris at Weatherby, I know that horse wasn't didn't run very well at the weekend, but nevertheless, it's solid, and surely he's going to have enough to win this.
Yeah, he should do, shouldn't he? He should be very, very hard to beat here, Stonebrook. As you say, he was third, first time up over over hurdles, but then won very nicely last time out. And you know, his rivals here don't look up to much. That said, though, I do like Keith Reevely's horse, Delta 40. I think he's a horse who'll win plenty of races. He won a Utoxeter bumper and has been placed in a couple of bumpers. And she has been placed in a couple of bumpers subsequently, should I say, this mare by Alflora. And I think she'll win plenty of races in the mare's bracket. But she looks to have been set a stiff task, doesn't she, first time up against Stonebrook. I think he's going to take the world of beating. Sue Smith's horse is Silver Vogue, the son of Revoke, looked to have a little bit of ability when running first time up. He finished third at Sedgefield in a bumper, and it's interesting that they've switched him to the hurdle straight away. He should shape okay, but as I say, they're all going to struggle to beat Stonebrook.
Yeah, Stonebrook hard to get away from there in the 220. The next race that we'll look at is the 420, novices hurdle over 2.5 miles. Just the four runners here. I'd imagine Wild Card, again Donald McCain, this time Jason Maguire on board, will be pretty hard to beat. But Frankie's Promise, if getting his jumping together, would certainly be able to, I'd imagine, go reasonably close to Wild Card. On ratings, there's £9 between them, and Frankie's Promise receives £7 today. So could be a little bit tighter, this one.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think there's probably very little between Wild Card and Frankie's Promise. Wild Card was obviously a winner. Two starts back around Toaster, then ran a respectable race last time up at Weatherby when finishing third. He'll have obvious claims in this sort of race, but I'd probably side with Frankie's Promise of the two in receipt of the £7 allowance. This horse unseated, unfortunately, last time out up at Ayr, was a beaten favourite at Ayr the time before that, but has been running pretty consistently, and we'll side with him to get the better of the McCain horse this time around.
Okay, the final race that we'll look at then is the 450 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, a Class 3 contest with four runners to go to post once again. But I think you'd have a job ruling any of these four out. We've got Categorical and Sergeant Pink, who are supposedly the outsiders, if you like. But they do pop up from time to time. Categorical does like it around at Newcastle as well.
Yes.
Clondorf, Flicker and Storming Gale are too likely to head the market.
Yeah, I think, as you say, you couldn't rule any of these horses out wholly. And at the likely price, I think Categorical is gonna run a big race here. Alex, as you as you've already mentioned, that he likes it around Newcastle. Although he was disappointing at Doncaster last time out, before that he'd been running pretty well, and I think he's well able to win races off this chase mark of 113. He's £12 lower over fences than he is over hurdles.
He actually won this race in 2011, and the Reevelys also won it in 2012 with Dancing Art, so
okay,
looks like a race that they may target.
Yeah, well, it's worth a little bit of money, this Class 3 event, and I'll side with Categorical. Storming Gale has to prove that he's none the worse for that fall Which came at Musselburgh last time out. Sergeant Pink is a consistent type, although his last two runs have maybe been a little bit below par. Well, his last three, two over jumps, and one. Sorry, his last four runs, you'd say, are disappointed. Mm. Two on the flat and two over jumps. Got there eventually, and Clondalf Flicker is hat-trick seeking, having won his last two races around Doncaster and Wetherby. He's a young horse that looks open to further improvement, so I think he's going to be bang on the premises at the death, but I'll side with Categorical.
Okay, Categorical there in the 450. Great stuff, Sean. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Best of luck at Cheltenham, if I don't see you before then. And in the meantime, where are you next with your previews? Oof. Are you up at Newcastle tomorrow or not?
Yeah, I'm at Wetherby tonight. Wetherby tonight, Newcastle tomorrow, Beverley Wednesday, Dublin Thursday.
Look at that.
Oh, busy man.
Globetrotting, Sean.
Busy
Quinn.
Man.
Right, cheers, Sean.
Cheers, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.